No matter who you are, no matter where you have been, and no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome, everyone, to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the 18th day of... No, it's not. It is the 22nd day of October. We're reading the 18th chapter of Matthew, so my brain was already there. Welcome. It's so good to be here with you. It's a joy, and it is a privilege, an honor. I love coming to this space every day, diving in a little bit deeper, going a little bit deeper than we did yesterday. We're out from the shore, we're on the beach, we're walking in the waters, and we're in the shallow as we start, and every day we take a little step closer, getting out into the deep. And as we do so, we take one step closer to Jesus. Let's dive in together today. Matthew chapter 18, that's been established. That's what we're reading. And today we're reading the Christian Standard Bible. Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "So who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a small child and had him stand among them. "Truly, I tell you," he said, "unless you turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him if a heavy millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses will inevitably come. But woe to that person by whom the offense comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to fall away, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to fall away, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hellfire. See to it that you don't despise one of these little ones, because I tell you that in heaven, their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If someone has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go and search for the stray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over that sheep more than over the 99 that did not go astray. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't listen, take one or two others with you, so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. If he doesn't pay attention to them, tell the church. If he doesn't pay attention even to the church, let him be like a Gentile and a tax collector to you. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." Then Peter approached him and asked, "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? as many as seven times? I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, one who owed 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything." Then the master of that servant had compassion, released him, and forgave him the loan. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, started choking him, and said, "Pay what you owe." At this, his fellow servant fell down and began begging him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and threw him into prison until he could pay what was owed. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported to their master everything that had happened. Then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. Okay, we have really important words from Jesus today. The disciples asking him, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? It's not such a far off question. We don't even ask, we just insert ourselves. We'll be the greatest in heaven. I can't wait to go and get that reward. And a lot of days I'm just like, Jesus, Jill, it's J-I-2-L's, Harden. Name still in there, right? We're good? Hasn't been crossed off or whited out? Jesus answers them by calling a child and revealing that child to them. And then he said, "I tell you the truth. Unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." We could think that it's the awe and the wonder and the trust, but Jesus lays it out. Anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And if you welcome a little child like this, on my behalf, Jesus says, you are welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trusts in him to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus is very clearly speaking today, not just about the sinner and not about our sin, but about those that lead those into temptation. Again, it's not a them problem. It's an us problem. It's a we problem. It's a me problem. I had a situation a few weeks ago that I had a very important choice to make in a very hard situation. And I know that just not too long ago, I don't want to tell the situation. I just want to be vulnerable and say that I had a really difficult choice to make several weeks ago. And prior to the immense amount of work I have done with God and with Jesus and allowing him to heal my brokenness, surrendering my pride and doing the really hard work of awareness and learning and surrender, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I would have made the wrong choice just a few years ago. And I would have thought nothing of it. But the choice in the moment, I had 13-year-old eyes that were watching me. And I knew that God, my Father, was watching me. And without detail, I made the right choice. And I was so proud of that choice that I made. And I don't say this to exalt myself in any way, or to congratulate myself in any way, or to bring attention to myself in any way. I say this because this is the work that I've done. And in the moment, the timing in the moment was undoubtedly God showing me that I made the right choice. I would not have been able to sleep that night had I known I did anything other than what I did. I needed the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And I took my time. I made the right choice. Talked it out with my husband. Acted upon it. And God absolutely confirmed for me in that moment that was exactly what He wanted me to do. I am aware that there are 13-year-old eyes watching me, and littles, my grandchildren, my children. But the world is watching us. The world is watching everything that we do, and when it does not line up with what we say we believe, they do not want anything to do with the Jesus that we present. Because the Jesus that we present is often very different than the Jesus that we should actually follow. Holy Spirit, come. That's all I have today. Come. Come in the way that only You can. Guide us into all truth. I pray, and I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Daily Audio, whatever this is, travel blog, journal, travelogue, all the different things that have been suggested. It's all of those things. Welcome back. Welcome for the first time from Greece. Pretty mesmerized by Greece. Pretty worn out. Mm-hmm. Physically and emotionally at this point. Need a breather. Because it just comes like at warp speed. And so, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm A-okay. I don't know.
So we have crossed the border, leg number two, and moved into Greece. What was your impression of crossing the border and coming into Greece?
Well, that was all the way back to yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we noticed. I noticed. Ezekiel noticed some significant differences upon lunch, which was the first thing. It was pretty late when we got across the border, and we were hungry and had some lunch. And yeah, it just, you know, it's a different country, different place, different people, different culture, different food. And we noticed immediately. Not better, not worse, just different.
Yeah, noticeably.
Noticeably different.
And maybe a little more familiar.
Yeah. And yeah.
Maybe still very different, but a little familiar.
Yes. Yes. But I have never been to Greece either, so all new. And then by the time we got to our hotel, I was smitten.
Yeah.
we had drove and saw just rows and rows and rows of olive trees, olive groves, grape trees for miles, pomegranate trees. I felt like I had died and gone to Greek heaven.
And quite a bit of ocean.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of coast and mountains. And
yes. And so our hotel was, it just bit me with unexpected joy.
Yeah.
Being right near the bay and having this beautiful terrace balcony right towards the water, which is my love language.
Yeah.
My soul restorer. So it was just a beautiful day, a beautiful night, and kind of a breath of fresh air too.
Yeah.
Just be in a new place, so.
I thought it was enchanting.
That's a good word.
So that place, which was last night, which feels quite a bit more like a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Was called Kavala, and that is the ancient New Testament city of Neapolis, which means new city.
Mm-hmm.
And that has some very big significance in the Bible. The day before, back when we were in Turkey, which feels more like a month ago, we were at Alexandria Troas, right on the coast, and that is where Paul had this vision. It's where a person fell out of the window and smashed a couple stories below, and from Paul's teaching all night, and he had to be restored. But Paul had this vision come to Macedonia, which is in modern-day Greece now, Macedonia. And so he sailed across and landed at Neapolis. And so we were able to kind of see the harbor. And then there's this church to St. Nicholas that has harbor stones from the first century. And this is the first moment that the message or the story or the gospel of Jesus sets foot on European soil.
Mm-hmm.
And so the harbor there, that's, I mean, we're following this path as it moves westward and as it spread out. And I think we got a pretty good understanding of how far it spread and how big the Roman Empire was. And we're doing this with modern travel. So,
right.
Man, back in the, so when people say that, you know, the Roman Empire is the known world, that makes sense. I mean, to travel from end to end back then is like a year. So,
yeah,
if not more than a year. And so that's why, you know, Paul's missionary journeys are 2 years and 3 years and 4 years long.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, and you start to get familiar with the architecture and these ruins that you're looking at, and you see just how dominant the Roman Empire was, how vast and powerful and profound, and it took a lot of money to buy the materials that would last as long as they have. And it just puts things into perspective. And so, yeah, I don't know where you're wanting to go with this, but I think one of the differences, and again, it's not better or worse, it's just different, which is really, really fascinating. In Turkey, the churches that were once Christian were then turned into mosques.
Right.
So most of them are mosques that are standing.
Mm-hmm.
The churches here in Greece that look very mosque-esque are Christian. Because they were. Are now Christian churches.
Yeah.
So 97% of Greece is Greek Orthodox.
Yeah. This is a largely Christian nation.
Mm-hmm.
Vastly. So we came kind of out of one vastly Muslim culture into a vastly Christian culture.
Yes. So that's just, again, not here nor there. It's just an observation.
Yeah.
And quite fascinating that, you know, we went from predominantly Muslim to predominantly Christian. And just worth mentioning, I believe. And you mentioned the Church of St. Nicholas.
Mm-hmm.
And I researched that story several years ago because I, well, very personal reasons that I did, but I really kind of, I don't know, probably shouldn't say it. I wanted to know the origin.
Yeah.
And I wanted really to try to educate as many people as I could on the story of St. Nicholas. Because I, again, it was just a personal experience, but it is a beautiful story of a real person. And it is worth the research. He is a saint. And he was orphaned as a young child. Both of his parents died. And he was left a lot of wealth. And he started providing things, he started providing needs for the hurting and the poor and the needy.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
I'm with you.
And he did so, and he became known as a miracle worker because he then started giving to the children who had nothing. And people started revering him. They started praying to him. And he just did good.
Yeah.
And I think he was, I thought he was born in Turkey.
We were told that.
Conflicting facts because
a lot of people want to own that.
Well, yeah. Maybe he was born in Turkey and ended up here in Greece, but I thought maybe our tour guide said he was born in Greece. Either way, his church is here and his traditions spread to other European countries.
Right.
So the Dutch, they started putting out little wooden shoes, collecting nuts and oranges and such until the United States got the adaptation of that story and thus became Santa Claus.
Yeah, and materialism and commercialism out the yin-yang.
Right. But I think it just leads me to a point that I was talking with our tour guide about last night while you were getting photographs about the difference of the culture. Knowing their history, respecting their history, and was just asking questions that kind of led to that observation. She asked if I felt it was the same, and I said, I'm not sure that I can say that we understand greatly where we have come from.
Yeah.
Especially within the church. Because I feel
agree.
If we did know such stories of, you know, the saints, Saint Nicholas, we would not paint such derogatory pictures of traditions and...
I guess you're just really touching on all of our stories, but even the biblical narrative is so full of losing the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And you lose the plot when you forget how you got where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And start thinking that where you are is where it all started and forgetting what it took to get there.
Yeah.
And who it took to get there. And so every one of us have kind of maybe lost the plot of understanding it. It took billions of choices by hundreds of thousands of ancestors to get us here.
Right.
And all of our ancestry at some point, at least spiritually, originates in some of these lands because this is where it started. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of chasing these ancient paths, recovering some of the plots.
Right.
And it changes you, but it also feels foreign and like it alienates you because you've done the work to recover what this whole thing is and what it meant to people and what it cost.
Right.
And what we just take for granted and then just trying to bring that, all that story to light. You know, when a person's just never really, doesn't even care.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, I don't even know what word to use. It's just powerful. All these places that we've been and all their distances and all this work and all of these miles and all of this emotional and spiritual and physical fatigue and just it's become a pilgrimage for sure.
Yes. And I think it just, what strikes me so much, and maybe I just don't have the up close view that I do in our culture back home, but it just seems that there's a mutual respect for people here that we lack.
Mm.
And it's so nice.
Yeah.
To see that. Just to add on to what you're saying, I think the word is ignorance.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean dumb. It means we just don't know, and I'm not sure we care to know. Like, I don't know. I think sometimes we would just rather be entertained than educated.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know. Sorry, I think I'm a little raw tonight.
Yeah. Well, St. Nicholas's Church was in Neapolis, where the harbor once was, where Paul disembarked from a ship and brought the message of Jesus onto the European continent. And we, you know, it's a city and there's not like a lot of archaeology, but man, like the aqueduct system.
Yeah.
Just to appreciate the ingenuity and engineering in the Roman era. And like you said, the kind of enchantment of just how that is a harbor city right on the water with the islands and...
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, wow. This is how that story crossed that sea and got here and kept going westward. And so today we got up and continued westward and visited two places, and we're in one of them now. And our first stop was what they call Philippi, where Paul's letter to the Philippians was written, and that is an archaeological site. And very well documented and excavated, and so they're like, there's stories from the Book of Acts about Paul coming to Philippi, which, you know, he's there with Silas, he's there with Timothy and Luke, and Paul and Silas are ministering, and there's this girl who is a fortune teller, and she's kind of calling them out as, you know, witnesses of the Most High God. And so they cast this evil spirit out of her, and she becomes free. Of course, her owners have just lost their livelihood. So they just go nuts and stir up trouble for Paul and Silas, who end up in prison, beaten down, physically beaten, and then thrown into prison. And as that story goes, there's a miraculous kind of earthquake, and we have heard so much about earthquakes destroying so many things throughout our entire journey of how entire cities have been completely destroyed by earthquakes. But an earthquake happens, and the gates are opened, and the jailkeeper believes that everybody has escaped and he's going to commit suicide, and Paul and Silas are like, nobody's gone. Don't hurt yourself. And that man becomes a believer, a Gentile, a dungeon keeper. And his entire household becomes believers. And then, of course, Paul's kind of being Paul and asking the next morning of the people that beat them and threw them in prison, are you allowed? Are you allowed to do this to a Roman citizen? And that freaks them out. But man, that dungeon or that jail that they were held in is there. We were able to observe it.
That was crazy.
And just, see a lot of the ruins there. The earliest church there is an octagonal church, which, surprisingly just immediately took me to Capernaum, Jesus' hometown, and that first church that's built over Peter's house that's an octagon just like that.
Yes. I did not make that connection.
So I was just like, wow. Need to think that through some more, but
it is very funny that you say that. I was telling Ezekiel this morning, there are so many times I'm at these places here that I've never been to before, that I'm like, this place is strangely reminiscent of Shiloh in Israel. Mm-hmm. Like, every place reminds me of a place that we have been to.
Mm-hmm.
Just something about it. I don't know. I guess it's the Mediterranean that'll do it, but...
Yeah. Then we were able to go to the river.
That was beautiful.
Very beautiful and moving. And as the Book of Acts tells it, like Paul and Silas, they're like, they go out of the city walls to the river and on the Sabbath, and there's women there, and they strike up a conversation and share the gospel. And a woman named Lydia, who is a merchant from Thyatira, which is one of the seven churches, she's a dealer in purple cloth. So royal, very expensive. She's a very expensive, textile dealer. And she believes. And she's baptized right there by, you know, where they were sitting. And
she asks Paul to baptize her. And she's the first female Christian recorded in the Bible under Paul's ministry in this area.
Yeah. And so she's Saint Lydia now, and so there's like all the commemoration for that, which is really beautiful. And it really was beautiful and very moving.
That river was so peaceful. There were so many people there, but it was so peaceful. There was one little section that flowed down, and I just saw it branch off into three different streams, and I was mesmerized by that. Fun fact, do you know what she used to dye the, was it linen?
To create the purple.
To create the purple.
tell us?
The ink from a snail. A certain type of snail in that region.
Very rare and hard to get in.
Very, very expensive.
The kind of cloth that was made for real upper tier wealth and especially royalty. They wore these garments. So, super fascinating connections all the way around. And so once we left there, we had a couple of hours to where we are now. Thessaloniki. Thessalonica. Paul's first and second letters to the Thessalonians. And this is a large city.
Very large.
Feels like a very creative city. It's very much a coastal city. It's a very beautiful city. But it's a metropolitan city and a lot of action and a lot of movement and not a specific like archaeological site. It's like one of the cities that has continued on forward. And so, you know, you gotta kind of move around to connect with the biblical narrative. And we did, you know, the very extensive Roman walls, very well preserved.
Yeah.
Roman walls that are very much a part of the city still exist. And then there's the Agora, the kind of marketplace that has been discovered and maybe not like super duper impressive, but it's a piece of that history. And then there's a lot of churches that are preserving a lot of early church history. Like St. Dalmatian, I believe that's the church we were in just before we came back, and that was surprisingly moving to me, actually. Maybe you just really, really did something to watch people praying and just asking for help. And just humbled and asking for help from God.
Yeah.
And he was martyred, and it's just a bizarre story, in 309. So before, like, kind of during persecution years, and this is a Roman soldier that was a Christian who, just as it turns out, prayed for a gladiator who was a Christian. And that gladiator then defeated the emperor's favorite gladiator. And so the emperor basically had him hauled off and speared to death. And thrown into a well, and so other Christians got his body, and like so many of these kinds of stories, even like we find that story with John the Baptist, and
that's what it made me think of.
So they preserved his grave, and it's kind of been known since then. And of course, like so many of these places, the church has been built up around it. And
this church is magnificent.
Yeah, and it goes back to the 500s. It's been destroyed. It's been a mosque. It's been on fire. It's been through a lot.
But right now, she's just standing there beautiful.
Yeah, and it was, I don't know. Just right time, right place, right moment. Hit me. Hit me.
So, it was very moving to see people stop what they're doing and make it a point to come in and pray, be intentional and to pray and to show honor and respect and
ask for help
because
that's what they were doing, and we all need help. And so I found myself asking for help. And we all need it, and it's just beautiful to kind of follow in a long line that's been going on for 2,000 years of people asking God for help. So
sometimes it's the only prayer we've got.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. agree. So, Thessalonica. Again, you kind of got to dig it up. It's not like we're going to go to an archaeological site and see specifically things. I got to kind of dig it up in this large, very creative, very beautiful city. And so we were kind of all over the place, but saw some really beautiful views, some really beautiful churches, some of the archaeology that is throughout the city. And we captured as much of that as we could. And that's in today's video. And that is where we have landed, and that is where we are for our first like day and a half in Greece. And what we need is kind of like, we have one day off in all of this, and that's in a few days. And this is like emotional, spiritual, and physical overwhelm at times. There's always like a lot of energy, but it's like comes in waves. This is I don't suppose we're going to be the same after this.
No.
And I guess that's the point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You got any other stories to tell?
I think just, I don't know. It's a lot I could say, but I love seeing all of the different people groups at the sites.
Yeah.
Hearing the different languages. It makes me think about this community and the prayers and the different accents, and knowing that there are people all over the world. And just seeing people come together at these same sites, like, you know, sometimes we'll travel a whole day and be right behind the same group or right in front of the same group of people, and or at least a site or two, and we're just so vastly different. Even at the river today, there's a large group of Americans that were there taking it in. But then there's just different ethnicities, different cultures.
And listening to them sing in different languages.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Just one group just stop and they pull out their papers and they all have a hymn that they're going to just sing together. It made me think of, I don't know, it just made me think of informality. The beauty of informality, the beauty of not rehearsed and not performed, but just
spontaneous.
Spontaneous, maybe tradition, maybe I don't know. I don't know. I wish people I don't know. I'm not making sense. I wish that we could get that we don't have it all figured out.
Yeah.
Because as I'm talking with the tour guide after I've witnessed all of this, myself, I just said, "You're always learning, aren't you? Because things are always changing." And she said, "Always. I will never stop learning." Because there is always something to learn. And I just said, the teacher can always be taught, right? And then she made this beautiful quote by, I don't know, one of the smart theologians of our time that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I just, and I think I come from a place of sadness that much of my life was like, I've got this all figured out. And I guess just even being here as an American, you know, I'm like, a lot of different cultures think America is the goal.
Yeah.
And I look and go, man, if we're just watching and observing, we have a lot that we could take away from other people. And I guess that's just where I'm at.
Yeah. Well, friends, that's just where we're at right now in this very long, very meaningful, purposeful, intentional journey in deepening the work that we do here in this community and the way that we try to make the Bible come alive, but also try to make the Bible what it's supposed to be in our lives. And, you know, I say often, you take a journey through the Bible with an open heart and it's going to touch everything.
Mm-hmm.
There's like nothing about you that's not going to get touched in some way. And there is nothing false that's not going to get challenged. And there is nothing that you're hiding that's not going to get pulled out into the open. Even if you're not exposed, you're not going to be able to look away.
Yeah.
Because, and the Bible is what the Bible is, and it is a living, breathing thing. I believe that just because of 20 years of this and never getting hit twice the same way.
Yeah.
But I know that we won't ever see at least the New Testament the same way ever again after this, and now understanding all of these places. And so, man, Galatians, we've been to Ephesus, Ephesians, we've been to Philippi, Philippians, we've been to Colossians,
mm-hmm.
we've been to Thessalonica, Thessalonians. I feel like we are
seven churches, the beginning of Revelation.
Yeah. We have much ground to cover, but we have covered much ground, and that ground is kind of sacred ground now. And none of it's ever, like, I'm never going to read these things the same way. I'm just kind of looking forward to it being kind of, I don't know, becoming a part of the fabric of my faith. It's like all in these piles right now where it's like you gotta sort through some of this.
Yeah. I gotta do a lot of sorting before I get to the guts of Paul in the New Testament, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell this real quick story that happened yesterday when we were leaving Turkey. We were on a strict time schedule to make sure that we could get handed over to our new guide and our new driver in Greece by a certain time. And so we knew that the schedule was a little bit tight, and we left the hotel and our tour guide said, if it's okay, we have a friend in need. And he asked if we could, I forgot how she said it, but basically his battery had died and he had a vehicle similar to the one that we were in, and he needed a jump, but they call it something different. And she said, if that's okay, we will help him because we never know when we will be in this position.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was so beautiful.
Yes.
And not that it even matters, but she was clearly adamant that she is not a believer.
Mm-hmm.
But she was so kind.
Yeah.
So kind to people in need and helping. And it really did something in me.
Yeah.
And there was at least one of those little stories every day so far on the trip. So, that was kind of a beautiful send-off.
Yeah, I agree. It was. Well, I guess we need to send off this for today. And so, thank you for being with us, friends. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. Get connected, stay connected. We're posting some video montages each day to try to show you the things that we're talking about. And so you can find all the links in the community section at dailyaudiobible.com. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Beyond thank you. With deep gratitude that the campfire continues to burn after all these years. Thank you for your partnership. And like you were saying, like, we have all the dialects and all the accents, but we pray for each other. And it's been a community, for whatever reason, that's been safe to kind of, like, it's just really hard for us to, I don't know, it's like, kind of meet each other where we are in a fairly non-judgmental way and just pray, because what else can we do? Mm. We're just not into the politics of life together, so we can accept each other where we are and pray for each other where we are. And sometimes being able to step back and be at that level and just, you know, just be present and pray,
mm-hmm,
is the beauty of this community. And so if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. And if you are doing, you know, if you're sending a prayer request or encouragement to Daily Audio Bible, then just push send. And if you're sending one to Chronological, then what do you say? Use your little, your pointer finger and...
Well, you can use whichever finger you want, but the pointer finger works real good. Hit submit and then turn that wheel over to Chronological, or you can use the pointer finger and dial 800-583-2164.
Or you can use your pointer finger if you're calling Daily Audio Bible and dial 877-942-4253. That is all for today. I'm Brian.
I'm the wife, Jill.
And we love you, and thank you for praying for us. We need it. And we'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, fam. Sister Kim in Kentucky, and it's Sunday, October the 19th. And I'm just calling in response to my brother from Baltimore, who called in for Renee to congratulate her boards, but then asked for prayer as he will get ready to defend his dissertation. And he made a comment about knowledge can puff up, but the one that has love that builds up. And my brother, I just want you to know how I heard God speak when you said that. And I went and looked up that verse. It's from 1 Corinthians 8. And I agree with you 100%. You know, in our flesh, we can sort of get excited when we start hearing from the Lord and he's given us revelation. And sometimes that excitement might be a little bit, our flesh wants to get in there and become prideful. And I was just reminded of what he told Paul. Not that I think I'm anywhere like Paul. You know, he said, for all the revelation given to me, then a thorn in the flesh was given to me to sort of keep me humble. And you said, I just want to stay humble. And I'm there with you, my brother. I'm thankful for what the Lord is showing me from his word and what he is speaking to me. And I share that with others, but I want to share it in humility, in that I'm just one of them learning of the Lord, the word of God as well. So prayers for you, that you will complete past your dissertation. And I believe that become a doctor, having a PhD, correct? So blessings, my family. I love y'all. Just be blessed.
Good morning, DABC. This is Elvanita. I am calling in with a praise report. I got a text this morning that baby Naomi will ring the bell today again at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So today's Monday, October 20th. Her scans came back and she is cancer-free for the second time. And we praise Jesus that this will be the last time. You all, I'm smiling ear to ear, baby, with her cute little bald head, is a fighter. And it is a reminder that God is able. Whew. The joy of the Lord, truly, when it seems like the world is on fire, God gives us sweet little reminders that he's still paying attention, that he's still on the throne. And so today, I have decided that today is a good day to have a good day. Today on today. I pray you all do too. I'm still praying for you, KSDF family. Praise God, you all. Praise the Lord. Today.
Good morning, this is Wendy from Michigan. I just wanted to call in and pray for Chantel's brother Jason and his heart situation. So Lord, thank you so much for this day and for the time that we can come and pray to you. Thank you for how you in other people's lives to pray. It's an encouragement to me. And we just pray for Jason, Lord, that you would touch his heart. You bring complete healing and restoration in his body. And I just pray he'd be very encouraged by how you're working. And we will thank you for it. In your name I pray, amen. I also wanted just to say thank you for praying for my brother Justin and his wife. Things are still not good, but just trusting that the Lord is working, because we know he is. And just pray, you pray with me that he would continue to break down the walls and they would see their need of Jesus in the middle of their relationship. Thank you so much for praying, those that have called in and those that are praying. I just really appreciate it.